Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of November, recording at 6:38 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, now, the two most important things that are going on right at this moment, I feel, is first, it's quite clear that the European Central Bank has embarked on another one of its daily jawboning exercises. We had a number of mostly minor officials coming out today and commenting. I think this is sort of a pass the hot potato here, and they come out and say they're concerned or they're watching things very closely, hoping to slow the market up. And predictably, we get a little reaction back in the euro. It'll fall back a little bit. Against the dollar, for instance, we saw the euro this morning punch up just over the 130 level. I think that was in another new recovery high. And then we had the jawboning from at least two officials, and a pullback dipped down to 128.50. At one stage, was working on a potential key day reversal, then it pushed back up over 129, and it's just below that level as I speak. Now, that will go on, as I say. And I think the main point I would make is that it's likely to have less impact this time around. I also noticed a U.S. official came out and repeated their line about strong dollar policy, and they've said that every time, particularly when I think urged to do so by European officials, and they'll go on maintaining that stance, although it's quite clear overall, judge them by what they do, not what they say, that the U.S. very much favors a softer U.S. dollar, and a softer U.S. dollar I believe they will actually get. But the fact that the intervention, the jawboning rather, is coming in at this stage really does suggest that we may not, that upside targets, for instance, for the euro are probably going to be on the lower side of the various ranges that we're actually seeing from currency analysts rather than on the higher side. But we'll see. There'll be plenty of time to assess that. My view overall is that despite the jawboning, that most currencies are buys against the dollar on easing. But I, as you know, prefer to play this with the Australian dollar. I try to match up the strongest currency with the weakest currency. Incidentally, the yen's taken quite a hit in here today, and the yen does look as if it could weaken against a number of other currencies, although I certainly wouldn't be playing the yen-dollar trade in here. We're talking about two basically soft currencies and two low-yielding currencies. Okay, the other factor that I think is quite important here is the fact that stock markets have probably commenced a consolidation phase. Now, that's not something to be frightened by, I don't think, but some of them have just run ahead very, very strongly in the short term and are consequently, not surprisingly, overbought. Now, my overall view is that we don't have much of a downside risk. I think we could see some small pullbacks and consolidations, but that there's nothing immediately on the horizon to really upset markets in a big way, although there are minor hurdles to get beyond. It'll be interesting to see how markets respond tomorrow to an interest rate hike. It's pretty well discounted, so I'd be surprised if it had that big effect, big an influence, either on short-term overbought stock markets or on the U.S. dollar. But I do expect that rate hike, and investors have been pretty nervous throughout most of the year and are only barely less so here today. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what actually occurs. But a number of these markets appear to be getting rising consolidations. I still think that we are very much on course. Let's call it a healthy consolidation in here, which would be a small pullback, and that markets remain on course for moving higher thereafter. Now, the main point about a short-term overbought condition is that I wouldn't want to chase anything. I wouldn't want to chase any market, or I wouldn't want to chase any individual instruments within the markets. Now, looking at some of the things that I hold, I'm not going to run through all of them here, but I'll just mention a couple in Asia. One good, one bad. The Indian stock market continues to push ahead. It is testing previous highs, that psychological resistance area at near 6,000. But of course, the troughs are lower every time it climbs back up there. So I would be surprised if we didn't go to new all-time highs for the Indian stock market, quite possibly before the end of the year. And certainly if Wall Street remains generally firm, I think there's a very, very good chance that we will see that. Now, I noticed that I think it's a J.P. Morgan India fund that I own, and I know that a number of investors have U.S. iShare equivalents that invest in India. I'm just going to put up the JII here while I talk. I noticed that it had a good gain. Yes, that was up 3 here today, taking it to 134.25. Good gain. And that's the highest it has been since the peak in April of this year, when it reached 139. So it were 134.25, closing on that high, which I do expect to get taken out this year. Now, if this accelerates upwards, and which I would quite like to see, actually, I would start to lighten my position. This is an important position in my pension fund, and probably the most profitable one at this particular time. I did notice, though, that on this J.P. Morgan fund, that the discount, and these things usually trade at discounts, but when they become popular, they move to premiums, and it has, as of today at any rate, according to Bloomberg, moved to a premium of just less than 1%, not 0.65. So that's basically square. But if I see this pushing up into a decent premium between 5% and 10%, I will be even more likely to do a little bit of profit taking, which is best done in these things on strength. But I'm not. I'm not about to start that immediately. Now, the other end, I said there's good news and bad news on my Asian positions. The Aberdeen New Thai Fund is quietly steady in here, but it's lagging way behind India. Remember, Thailand was the big star performer last year, and it's still in this consolidation phase, but it had done very well at the beginning of October, and then fell back and retraced those gains, and that occurred for one reason, and that is the unrest that we've seen in the southern part of the country, where the Muslim tensions, to put it mildly, have been seen. Now, this has occurred periodically from time to time. I think it's more of a buying opportunity than anything else. On that basis, against this background overall, one certainly isn't chasing Thailand in here. I think the market's pretty fairly priced, and reasonably priced, I should say, relative to others in the area. So if I were doing anything with Thailand, I wouldn't be getting out of it because of this this problem of terrorism that it has seen. I'd probably be increasing the position. I've got enough for now, so I'm quite happy with that. I have bought on 2 previous occasions in this level, so I don't feel a great urge to do so again. But that's one that I'm hoping it looks beyond this, and if the others continue to push up, then I think Thailand again is going to look cheap by comparison, and that would push it ahead again. And this is a market that I do like over the long term, but India is my top choice by far. Now, another one that I do like in here, back to the good news here, is Kuala Lumpur, the Malaysian stock market, the KLCI index, continues to push higher. It's very well underpinned. This is an awfully good chart, and I think this is likely to continue to come into favor among investors interested in Asia. And there is the way I'm actually playing this is with a lagging instrument. It's the Malaysian fund. That's a U.S. closed-end fund, U.S. listed closed-end fund, code MF. But the pattern is very good, and I don't think it's going to continue to lag. As some of you may recall, that I didn't buy that particularly well because it was at a small premium when I bought it. And one of my rules of thumb is never pay premiums on these things, and I got carried away last year and did so. It currently has a discount to NAV of 3.4%, so that's not a screaming bargain, but considering that this fund is traded much of the time, make sure I know what I'm talking about and look how long, well, it's often traded at a premium. It's tended to be between a premium of about up to 12% and a discount of say 12% on the other side. Pretty much for as long as I can see on this Bloomberg screen, which is covering the last year. So this is interesting, and I'm quite happy to be holding on to that position. Again, I don't feel a great urge to buy more. I'm tending to play futures in a number of these markets, but I do have this Malaysia fund in my pension fund. One of my futures positions that I have is in the Nikkei stock average, and Japan's been an embarrassment for me because it's continued to lag in here, but I think the overall environment again continues to favor a rally here. Technically, it looks a bit cheap to me overall, but it could do with a clear upward dynamic on the second section index, which so often leads to signal another significant rally. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that any day, and I don't think that there's too much downside risk in this immediate environment come next year, and it may all be a different story. I'll want to have much more liquidity by that time. Now, the one factor that could cause problems for stock markets in the short term, a known risk factor, that is the, in other words, I'm not going to be predicting or discounting on the basis of exogenous events such as terrorism, which we hopefully don't see on any large scale, but the oil price. And the oil price did dip down today, right back on top of that high, that last high that we had seen in August, the August rally high. It's got down to 46.96 on the spot price today. Now, I've been saying that looked ever since that downward dynamic right off the high, that this has looked very much like a medium-term consolidation, and we've certainly seen a bigger pullback in oil than we've seen for at least a year, and that fits my scenario. Also, the manner in which it came down suggests that it's a medium-term peak. Now, in the past, when we saw those reactions, and the last two that people will be looking at occurred in August, and the one before that was in June. And again, with earlier corrections in the cycle, consolidations, oil would pause for roughly a month, say a month to 5 weeks, before it was able to push back up into new high ground. Now, I certainly do not expect a new high, say, by the end of this month, which would conform to that script. But I do maintain that crude oil is in an overall secular bull market, and a lot of people will be looking at the charts here, and having seen the price pull back and just get back to the top of that August trading range, they will be wondering if that isn't a support level, and this leading to some little bit of short covering and maybe some long buying. And we are seeing that in here today. The current price, see, having just dipped under $47, as I mentioned earlier, $46.96, it's currently trading at $48.40. So, and that's the high of the day here. So that has steadied up a bit. Now, if that were to run back up much over $50, then that would recreate the headwind for stock markets, which are already vulnerable to consolidation of gains. I also notice that natural gas is steadying in here, and that's had quite a hit. That came down about 20% off its high in short order, mind you. It had been pretty much of a blitz on the upside. Okay, what else is significant to mention to you in here? Bonds, the U.S. Treasury bonds. They have weakened here again today, down half a point, 15.30 seconds, 111.16. And that's where I've got my main position. I also have another position in the JGBs, which I opened a couple of days ago. They're a little bit above where I sold. I was very tempted to add to that position in here today and then decided against it just because I'm going to be away the next couple of days and so on. I've got a fair number of positions out. Oh, there is one thing that I did do, and this I forgot to mention in the comment of the day. I did increase my Australian dollar long against the U.S. dollar when we had the euro fall back, and that caused a general reaction against currencies. I did go in and pick up a little bit more of that. And what did I actually pay? Don't have that to hand here right now. Apologies for that. I will try to remember to post that level, and it'll certainly be in the Fuller Money highlights. But that's my fourth purchase in this. And I had one position stopped out at an in the money level. Now, agricultural commodities. This is an interesting area in here today as well. And we had a very good move in the coffee market. It was largely in the Robusta coffee market, which was up, I'm looking now at the January contract, up $42, taking it up to $6.40. So it's a heck of a dynamic. I put that chart up on the website along with a number of others in the agricultural commodity area. And you'll notice from that chart that we've seen these in the past, and it didn't much matter. But again, I'm impressed by the overall basing activity. This is a depressed commodity, as are all the agricultural commodities. So currently I'm standing with one losing position in the January contract, which I bought too soon, but fortunately it was a small position, and then I added to it I think it was late last month, and that's now in the money here, and the pattern is looking reasonably promising. We also had a bit of a flourish in some of the grain and bean contracts, although those gains have been pared back. And there was a report on Bloomberg that had talked about China preparing to come in and buy some of these things. I've been saying that's just a matter of time, and that led to quite a sharp rally, but the gains have been pegged back here. Excuse me. But as I speak, we've still got soybeans up 12.5 cents here today. We've got corn up 1 cent. So these are steadyish and still very, very bombed out. To me, this is where the some of the more interesting situations are, certainly for the medium and longer term. But as I've said before, if you start building positions in here down at these levels, while there probably isn't a huge downside risk, that and the next significant move should certainly be on the upside. It does feel a bit masochistic when you're early, and there are contango factors which are working against one as well. But I have nibbled, I do have positions, and I may well add to these, some of these positions. But I'd probably prefer to do that in response to slightly better technical action, such as a good upward dynamic and follow through from that move. And I think that's pretty much it. The other thing that I did put on the website, which as you mentioned only briefly, is China. The Chinese stock market had an upward dynamic today on that Shanghai A-share index, and I think we'll see a little bit of follow through there. My guess is that that's probably been influenced by the monetary authorities in China, but the Hong Kong market has certainly been leading, and that looks in pretty good form right now as well. Now, I think you probably know that I'm off at the chart seminar tomorrow and Friday, but I have committed myself to coming into the office, having a quick run through the charts, and doing a short audio, albeit with an even more scratchy voice than usual after talking all day long. Have a good evening.